got, hold on.
We do. Four.
Four members?
Well, one, two, three. Yeah, four members, but one on the voting. Oh, four, oh, you.
Isn't Ben a member?
Yeah.
Voting member.
Oh, the voting member, sure.
But he's still a member.
Yeah, it looks like Bob's coming too.
Okay, let's go through. Remind me again.
Yeah,
we've got a quorum.
We've got a quorum.
Seven voting members. Yeah. We've got eight members, but seven voting members. So we need four members to have a quorum. So we do have a quorum to convene. So why don't we do that?
I'm sorry, I was mistaken last week. I was taking it literally on it. So.
I will call the meeting to order, and why don't we have people just take a look at the agenda. Anybody have any comments, suggestions, or an approval of the agenda for moving forward?
I so move. Second.
Been moved and seconded to approve the agenda. Any discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Let's proceed. First, next item on the agenda is the minutes from last month. People want to take a minute to scan through those again? Because I know we didn't get them out as early as we normally will in the future.
Mike, I wanted to point out Pam is participating. She called in. So
good.
She might have us on mute right now.
Any comments on the minutes or I have a motion?
I move adoption of the minutes. Approval.
It's been moved. Do I hear a second?
I'll second.
Second. It's been moved and seconded. Any discussion on the minutes? Call a vote. All those in favor, by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed. Thank you very much. Then let's go on to, I guess we've got introductions. We've got our committee, we've got our full commission here, except for Teresa, or Bob Horton, who will be coming late, and Jeff Carlson. Pam Trombo is on speakerphone with us. Welcome, Pam. And we've got Ben with us this time, and this is his first appearance, having been formally appointed. So congratulations, Mr. Marchek.
Thank you, sir.
Well, that's good because we're sharing, aren't we? I'd have to share a seat with Ben.
Yep. And Janine and Eileen, Ryan and myself. So very good. And then we've got a few guests here in the audience today. Mostly all recorders or people from recorders' offices, so very good. We don't have any vendors here today, but
we have one.
Ah.
I'm new. This is my first meeting. I'm Karen Renshaw from Gold Legal Docs. We are a legal forms company.
Okay.
I'm kind of like Miller Davis, only not quite. We're still in development, so I'm very interested because obviously we'd like our product to be compatible with where you guys are going.
That's super.
Great.
And that's always exciting to have vendors that are interested in helping adopt or take our standards and run with them and help sell them to people that can go and make good. So, super. Welcome. Thank you. Let's go on to the subcommittee reports. Trusted Submitter Subcommittee. And Jeff Carlson contacted me and told me he unfortunately wasn't going to be able to join us today. But he told me that he and Janelle Weiss have been working very diligently with the title industry folks, collecting suggestions about which documents we would be prudent to move forward to do in Model 2, and which ones they would find the most interest on the part of their customer base. That's kind of what we'd asked them to do, and he said that they have gotten their survey out and they've been getting responses coming back in, and that he hoped to have more information for us probably for the next month meeting. Now, I think somebody called me from my office and told me that there was an email from Jeff today.
Yeah, that's included in your handouts for the group, yeah.
All right. Mm-hmm.
It's kind of the questionnaire and the initial responses that he's received.
That he's
so
got.
Far.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And I had not seen that, so you've got that out for the commission
that's,
members?
Yep. Uh-huh.
Get the right file.
I think he said he had sent out, what, 204 people had responded?
It was 400, I think, he sent 400? Out to, and four people had responded so far.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when he left me a telephone message the other day,
that's
he
it.
Said he'd gotten the first one back.
I think that's it.
Yep. And he said they hope to coach out more responses on their survey. So that's what I have to report on that end. Pam, I know this isn't your area, but do you have anything additional on that you might know of just because you happen to work with Jeff? Pam, you there?
Hello.
Just a question for you, Pam. We thought if you knew anything more on the Trusted Submitter survey results that Jeff has got by chance at this point.
No, I got the same information you did. I just copied on the email from that. But we haven't had a discussion over it. It just popped in my office and said a few things, but nothing that you wouldn't know.
Okay. Thank you. Anything else on that item? Why don't we go on the county recorder report, and I'm going to call on the trusted subcommittee of Mr. Deline and Chris Basilis, if they'd tell us a little bit about what activities and work they have been doing relative to identifying documents and elements that we might have to do if we were to be able to finish doing the six-pack, I think is what we asked them to do.
Ask these around.
I certainly will.
Oh.
Pam, and for your edification, Larry Deline is just passing around a document that's got a number of, it's got a number of data elements that we probably, I'm assuming you're talking about wanting to look at from a indexing perspective and certain document types. So.
Oh, perfect.
Anyway, I'm guessing that would be music to your ears because I'm sure this is the sort of thing that you had to acquire when you were doing the Model 2 documents that were done last year or the year before?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, we were charged with looking at the six-pack to see what the elements might be that we want to capture, and I think Chris and I spent an afternoon together, and we actually went a lot farther than the six-pack, but we didn't bring that information with because we're not done. But we think if we have another afternoon session, we should get close to being done with looking at all of the documents in the uniform conveyancing blank chart that the Department of Commerce has on their website, which I think is going to take care of the bulk of what we would see recorded in our counties. And I think we're only finding that there's probably going to be three iterations of that the documents that fall in one of three buckets, if you want to call them that, that the element requirements would be the same for all those documents within each bucket. So I think it should be a relatively easy thing thing to do after going through, the what we did with CAM when we started with Model 2. It's just a little continuation of that. I think the big thing is that the commission needs to, at some point, take a look at these and determine from, hopefully based on some of our recommendations, what might be required on these documents, because I think it's necessary to come up with required fields that each county can be expecting to get from the trusted submitters when they submit a document in Model 2 format, and we are assured that we're going to get these elements and that they will all match up, and if they meet those requirements, that they should be accepted in all 87 counties. I think the big challenge yet is to look at all of the different document types that the uniform conveyancing blanks have, and even maybe pare those down so that there aren't so many titles or document types that we have to deal with as far as tracking. Now, that doesn't mean that the counties can't drill down even farther once they have the documents in-house and their tracking systems when they're reviewing them. If they want to have more than just a warranty deed, as an example, and have a warranty deed and then go into the tenancy situation like some of them do in their tracks now, that still would be an option for them. But if the document was submitted as a warranty deed, that should be sufficient for reporting purposes. So I think that we will be ready to talk to Pam after I think we have one more session to get together and at least go over what we've got and maybe be ready to discuss it further at the next task force or commission meeting.
Larry, thank you. That's very exciting. I mean, that's very, very good work. Because I think this is the issue, and I think commission members, I think we need to think in terms of what Larry talked about. The PREA standards nationally don't require any particular elements that you have to submit. They identify all the elements, but nothing's required. And I think if we're going to do anything at a Model 2 level to help improve productivity at the county level, you've got to identify the elements that you want to have or insist on submitters putting in an electronic format to submit. Otherwise, we're not going to be able to be having anything dependable to go into our indexing systems. So that's what I think is really great, that you've spent the time to go through and identify the grantor, grantee names and, you know, reference numbers and that sort of thing. And I think the issue that we'll be needing to take a look at is, do we wish to make those mandatory? And I just share with all of you, I view that that's probably something that we need to do as a commission, at least if we're comfortable once we've identified the right data elements. And I don't think we've identified, at least from what I'm seeing here, you haven't identified all that many that would be mandatory, which is the items that would be in all of our index systems. Whether we had a Fiddler system, a TriMin system, an independent system, a West Central system, CSI, is it? Pardon me. Criminal justice on the mind.
And I think it'd be very important that we pass those as a standard statewide and publish them so that this is the way Minnesota will do business. And every county would need to follow that as in the long run to make e-recording easier.
Right. And more uniform.
And more, yeah.
For everybody.
Yeah.
Yep. Absolutely.
Now, we did have one sort of stumbling block, and that had to do with some of the additional documents that some counties require, like a, what do they call that thing again, Chris?
Individual sewage treatment system of compliance, certificate of compliance, ISTS for short.
And that's another document that has to come with a deed. It doesn't necessarily, I guess in Carlton County, doesn't necessarily mean that if it's not there, you can't record your document, but it's something they like to have. Is that what?
That is correct.
I don't know if it's that way in all counties, that it's just encouraged.
wondering, there wasn't a land type in here at this point. Is there something that you plan to include as part of Africa Torrens?
Oh, yes, yes, that's in our next iteration.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then condos for the legal description?
That could be there too, yes. Yep.
I'm just thinking kind of.
I know, that's good. That's good.
Now, other than that, I think that this is excellent. Easy to build at this point.
What's that?
It's easy to build if it's just
yeah,
like that.
Yeah, if that's what you need.
Yeah.
Should
we do that? With this, you'll only take a couple weeks to build this government.
Yep.
If it truly is this.
It is that easy.
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm saying. It's excellent.
Sure. I'm pretty sure that we're on the right track. Yep. We're going to go through all of them. We're about halfway through the uniform.
You know, could we go back to that, what you said about the nature of the ownership interests? Because on the uniform conveyancing blanks, of course, there are individual to joint tenants,
correct,
individual to tenants in common. Is there only one electronic deed form, or are all of those forms?
They're all there. It's just that when we receive it for tracking purposes, when we put it into our track index, we don't really get down to all of that in most counties. Some probably do. So that's why I said that one, if you got it in your county and you don't want it, you want to drill down all the way to that tenancy issue that,
mm-hmm,
you know, based on the form. I think the warranty deed, quitclaim deed, limited warranty deed are the important things, the quitclaim and contractor deed. But the rest of it, for what you track to, isn't as important because in most counties, they don't really care if it's a corporation to an individual or joint tenancy to tenants in common. That really isn't something that we track.
But all those forms, if I want to go online and find
still
that,
use that form.
I
absolutely
can still use that. And then my other question is, is it an electronic tract? And if so, can I click on the instrument to find that information?
You can click on the document and always bring up an image of it.
So if I'm searching the tracks and want
right
to know that, I don't have to go back to paper. I can just
right
click.
Right.
Okay.
And that's why
we were able to do it this way today.
Yes, exactly.
Years ago when it was all paper and you had to go to microfilm, the abstractors really liked it when we put all that additional information in there. But in the electronic world, it isn't nearly as important. And this is just a way to find the documents. And then because all you got to do is click once and see all the gory details of it.
Including who drafted it and
yes,
all that,
that
stuff.
Right.
See, that's...
We don't capture that in our
tracks
now.
Okay. As long as it's really accessible to
yep
lawyers
yep
or anyone else who's examining.
Right. Yep.
And really, once you click on that document, you will see the document just as it was presented.
Correct.
With all the right, all the statutory requirements, either there or not there, but
mm-hmm okay
all of them there, everything that was presented. So, like Larry said, the reason we used to put them in the track was to save going to the paper, digging out a microfilm card to find out whether it's joint tenants or not joint tenants when people were searching. Well, now it's just so easy to click on the button and get all your information at one time as it is for us to put joint tenants in the track index. And then, you know, because you're going to look at that, probably want to look at that document anyway. So it's just keystrokes less for us. I mean... And less chance of error on our part as well when you add husband and wife and joint tenants and all of that in there is you do run a chance. And if the public learns how to search for their document, then they're making those decisions instead of us doing that.
Thank you.
The one item I see it on here, Larry, your specialty is... the idea of including a property identification number coming in on documents. So
yes, I'd love to see that.
I'm hoping that the commission will see the light and ask to have that as a required field because they know it. They should give it to us because it's going to be more important as time goes on if we have that on the document. So that, because in my county, I track to that PIN number, and I know that some people think that's crazy, but spell things, and you're going to always have trouble matching that up to your track index that you're totally relying on the way things are spelled. But if you use the PIN number, much easier to match it up to something because it's a number.
See, the lore has always been among lawyers that the legal descriptions tied to the PID, or the PIN number rather, are not necessarily the correct legals.
No, but you have to think of it as just a guide, though, because it's just a way to find the document. It's really, I'm not really saying that this is the exact legal description of the property. It's only a guide to be able to help you find the documents that you require. Because in our system, that once I use the PIN number to tie it, you can still go in like any other recorder system and put in the subdivision name, lot, block, and get the information you want, because that subdivision name, lot, block is tied to that PIN number. So,
but the risk is that people not aware of that may confuse them. Real estate agents, for example, thinking I can use the PIN instead of the legal, and it's not correct. Do you see what I'm saying?
Sure.
That's the danger of that. So I wonder if we should just ask the uniform conveyancing people to put something on the form that says this is not.
Well, we're asking that it be included in the indexing values that the folks are sending us, not necessarily
on the wrapper. I've got you.
Okay. It's part of the indexing value.
Also includes it also requiring a subdivision,
right,
or a section, right, township and range. So I mean, it isn't the only thing that we're using to identify the property. It's just another thing, just like a grantor grantee,
right,
just like a legal and or date. I mean, we right, record in track by date that they search too. So
the legal description will still be on the actual document that's getting,
okay,
recorded. This is only the values that we're using to try to put that document in a specific place in our track.
Gotcha.
There's a tax implication for when you transfer ownership, you know. There has taxes has to be due before you can transfer ownership.
Mm-hmm.
I think the counties, for each for them to track everything when there's a deed transfer.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, this parcel that's impacting, so therefore we need to update the taxes to list that information as also.
Okay, and I guess my question, there's no way real estate agents or non-real estate lawyers or others who don't understand this distinction are going to see the wrapper information, correct?
Correct.
Okay, that's all
only
I'm worried
what
about.
We use to determine where to put it in our track index.
Okay.
It's not part of the document in level two.
And the only question I have, maybe, you know, Ryan and Larry could answer this for me, is I have a document that comes in with a split. All you have is the old number.
Yep.
It would get issued two new numbers in the parent-child relationship if everyone's using that. So that number that came in, what would be on that document of the split? Because it wouldn't have the new parcel number yet.
Right.
If we make it mandatory, then what happens?
My advice at this point in time is that if it is a split, you shouldn't deal with it electronically. It should be a paper document at this point in time. It's too complicated. I've really spent a lot of time with my staff trying to figure out how you can do this when you're dealing with having to pay the current delinquent taxes. If you're ever going to try to automate it, it's very difficult. If you're going to examine every document first before you really process it at all, that would be fine. You could still do that. But I really don't think that splits should be dealt with yet because it just makes it too complicated. If it's a split, reject it. I mean, I just don't think that it's worth the effort because in my county, every document that is a split also has to have the certification by the city that it's located in that it's okay for us to do the split. I don't know if that's the case. And 20 of our 21 municipalities fall under that. The other one hasn't ever adopted that practice. So it just makes it really complicated to try to deal with splits in this environment now. I mean, I think we need to figure out how that could work out well, but I don't think we're quite ready for that. That's my personal opinion.
So we could only electronically transfer deeds that the description stays the same?
Yep. That's my personal opinion. going. Because, you know, you can't design, if you start trying to design an electronic system to deal with all of the little idiosyncrasies that are out there, you're going to drive yourself crazy. You're going to spend way more money than it's worth. You have to do those types of things outside of the norm, because you just can't design it to take care of it. I mean, we're not dealing with things that are always cut and dried. And so if it's not a cut and dried transaction, it doesn't really belong in this environment yet.
You're talking then about platting, the platting process.
Yep. Platting and just a deed that creates a split as well. Makes it more complicated.
And I think in the belief of it's probably best to let's get the more routine things down. We can deal with the exceptions later on.
Yep.
Once we've got everything else working fine, the demand will be there to put the investment to make the others possible and to...
Right.
You know, and it's hard for me to think, you've been putting PIN numbers in for 15 years. You talk about researching by them. And my first thought
that's
is...
that's just another method. I can
Right. I mean, I understand that.
Yep.
And, you know, and I'm still looking at the fact that, you know, I don't want my public out there searching by PIN numbers because they're going to miss something because we don't have enough PIN numbers in yet to be a valuable tool.
Right.
Because if you put in the PIN number, you'd only get the last deed of record. And, you know, there could be four or five mortgages out there. There could have been an existing mortgage before that was accepted because they would not show up.
Yep.
And so, you know, I'm having a hard time thinking of that as a searching tool. But if I had 15 years of PIN numbers in my system, I might be a little more comfortable to say this should be a mandatory.
I'm not advocating that everybody go to that system. All I'm doing is that I think that we should include it.
To make it possible.
It will have value. If you're not using it today, someday it's going to have value. Because in 10 years now, you could decide that you want to change your system and include the PIN number because you got 10 years worth of PIN numbers.
Right, that's what I mean. Yep. And we are putting them in at this point.
Yep.
We're just hiding that tool from the public.
And I think at the very least, you really, I think, have to do it mandatory for the deeds, because the deeds are such a critical piece of, you know, the auditor's got to get that information, and that can be something that, you know, every auditor puts the PIN number on every deed, I think, everywhere around the state, if it's not on there when it comes in.
Yep.
Because they've got to track it to get into their tax record update. So you've got to deal with that, and I think you ought to, I think, you know, at a minimum, that should be a requirement if we're going to try and integrate these two systems. And I'll tell you the other thing of why I probably, Larry's made a believer out of me, is that as we've tried to figure out how to integrate land and tax records from databases that are not necessarily the same, it's not an easy thing to do. The land record legals are not always the same as the auditor's legals. For some reason, you know, those two groups haven't always talked to one another, and they haven't always agreed that the same legal can be used in certain situations and so forth. And that makes it real tough to, you know, have those two systems now interact with one another and get common searches that people want to know information in both areas. This would be a way, at least moving forward for the future, of setting the foundation to help make that more easily done in times to come. So, yeah.
I think just the way we're moving forward, and also with the new tax programs and the new aspects or characteristics are given to tax programs, I know historically most of the legal descriptions are cut off in the property tax system just because there wasn't enough data for
you didn't have enough
there were abbreviations and
they
truncated a lot of different information.
And you came up with a lot of creative abbreviations.
People of nowhere.
Yeah.
And it was just enough information to get you started. It was the thought process there. So I think as we embark upon this, the fact that now I know just the Manitron tax program is completely unlimited as far as a lot of that data goes, and I think this would be a great thing.
Work together with your favorite county recorder and get a common legal description that you can all agree on, huh?
Actually, probably
that would be very helpful for the problems that lawyers see.
Yes.
And the other issue I think would be very good is, for instance, one example we have seen in our office quite a bit is, you know, someone buys the west 25 feet of a lot, and somebody sells the east 75 feet of a lot, and we have about four or five descriptions that keep going back. One is lot two except the west 25 feet, or, you know, the west east 25 feet, or, you know, they just keep swapping back and forth, same piece of land. They've just described it differently each time. So this would be good in that particular case, is yes, you are identifying the same piece of property. So.
Well, why don't we ask Larry and your group, Chris, to keep meeting and keep communicating with Pam that information and report back to us again next month in terms of
okay.
where it's at. And I think same place.
Thank you for the donation.
Yeah, we might double it.
Okay.
Wow. I think 2 times 0 is still 0, isn't it? My math is still right.
Well, it's when I was in school.
See if you can spend it all in the same place.
This is a handout too, but it's what Chris had provided for the recording.
Right. The the other item, Chris, maybe I just ask you to give just a little update in terms of.
Well, I think what I'd like to refer to first, before we look at my data, which is the letter that Diane.
I gave it to Mike, but I wanted to show it to you as well.
Yep.
I haven't handed it out to the group members yet.
It looks good to me as a preliminary information piece to send out from the commission. And then once this letter goes out, once Mike approves it, the commission approves it, I would like to see, then I will send out an email asking the reporters in all 87 counties to data enter their Model 3, Model 2, and paper document counts into the MACO database, and then I will send them instructions on how to do that from January of 08 through October, or November, depending on how close we are. And that is on the MACO website. MACO webmaster got a little ahead of himself and sent out an email saying it was already there. So we do have a couple of Octobers in there that you'll see. That wasn't supposed to go out yet. But it is ready for data entry. And then what I will do is parse out the information into 12 separate spreadsheets for each month, or whatever month we're on, 10 if it's October, 11 November, and give those to the commission. And also, Larry had a great suggestion about posting the data on the MACO website.
At least some summary.
Some summary data on that, yeah.
It doesn't need to be by county, but at least by month.
By month. Could do graphic, so you're right. Great idea. And that's about it. And on action.
Thank you, Chris, and again, thank the Recorders Group for their willingness to host that site and collect recording data statewide. I think that will be very, very helpful. And Ben, as always, thank you for your assistance and helping us look a little better than all the groups that we deal with. So that's much appreciated, especially when we're doing the right thing.
Yes.
And there will be a letter that I will send out from the commission. We've got a draft of, and I just wanted to have our meeting with the Recorder Group today, and we will get out to kind of kick this off, saying how much we appreciate their willingness to do that, and it is something that we find will be necessary to help us in our planning for the future. So we'll get that out here this next week. We've got Bob Horton joining us, so very good.
My apologies for being late. Sorry.
That's quite all right. Let me just make an announcement to the commission. I'm going to have to leave here on an emergency with my mother at 2:30. So I'll see how far we get at that point. If not, I may turn the chair over to, we don't have the vice chair here. But let's just see where we get. Why don't we go on to the planning reports? Technical cost estimates. We've got Pam on the phone. She sent me graciously a little email this morning. And Pam, if you're on the phone, I'll let you kind of share what you were sending to me.
That was for the level 2 mapping, the rest of the documents?
Correct.
I did it last time. I did it on my own free time. There was no cost involved. It was not that I'm saying it was plain and simple and easy, but it's pretty quick to do, especially when Larry and his group are gathering a lot of the data requirements for me. So that'll save a lot of time, but I just don't feel that there should be a cost for someone to do it. I will do it for free. Zero cost.
Thank you. We're all kind of silently clapping.
It's like I sit at the table and you're going to pay me to do something. I think it really is.
Pam, we're all in a state of shock, but most appreciative.
So that's fun. I like doing stuff like that. If I don't like, yeah, that might be a different thing.
No, I think we all appreciate everything you've done and your continued willingness to help us move this thing forward, because I think that's what's made this possible. So that's fantastic, Pam, and thank you very much for that estimate.
It's hard to put together. Let me tell you, adding those numbers up.
Well, we're two for two here now, the last two here. Why don't we go on to talk about item B here, because I think this is the item we probably need to spend a little time on here, because that kind of falls together with item D on here. Let me just say, item C under planning, we'll just carry that over, because that was Bill Morey going to give us some feedback on that item, so we'll just put that off till next month. Diane, if I'm remembering right, that was what that one related to.
Mm-hmm.
Bill had offered to do some information from vendors of what they thought would be the priority documents to try and move forward for Model 2. Legislative strategies. Diane, I'm going to kick it off and ask you to kick in on this.
Okay.
I had a telephone conference call with folks here at the LCC. And let me just share with you what I have come to learn about where and what's going on at the state of Minnesota. And Bob and Diane, I'm going to ask to chime in. The economic news is just very rosy over at the state of Minnesota. The governor has told all the executive branch offices to prepare two-year biennium budgets with a 5% cut. I am hearing estimates now that are running in the $4 to $5 billion deficit range for when the governor's finance department estimate's going to come out next month. I'd heard anywhere from 1 to 4. Now I'm hearing some people are talking as high as $5 billion. That's going to be a huge deficit. Greg Hubinger was kind enough to tell us that the Legislative Coordinating Commission isn't under the edict from the governor, but they tend to follow along with whatever the governor recommends.
They're directed by the legislature. When the legislature convenes, the leadership will direct us what we should do for our planning. Mm-hmm.
Now, when I ask the question in terms of what level of support will the commission be able to provide to our commission, Greg and Diane, I'll let you tell me, or Diane, I'll let you tell me the answer to that question.
We can provide the support, I mean, assuming that we don't have any personnel cuts or... Now, it all depends on how we're directed to do with our budget. But if everything's kind of status quo, or if there's something in the 5% range, likely we'll be able to provide the support that we have been providing the last 5 months to the commission. Unfortunately, we do not have technical resources within our commission that we could provide. So it'd be administrative, support like Sally and I have been doing for the commission.
Right. Mm-hmm. And Greg's suggestion was that for additional funds above and beyond that, you can go in and try and ask for a legislative request. It wasn't encouraged. I think that would be the way I would say, coming from Greg. But he suggested as a strategy move to sit down with Bert Black from the Secretary of State's office and just kind of go through a list for us historically of who our friends have been at the legislature and who has been an interested party player in that, so that maybe mapping out that strategy, some contacts can be made with some of those individuals to see what their feelings are. The other thought that had been discussed, because the news is going to be so grim, there may be a strategy that would say, we don't go in with anything, but if there are others that are coming in with bills that are going to attach fee increases or tax increases that relate anything to real estate, that some of it should be dedicated for this purpose, mm-hmm. because this does have the benefit of trying to provide a better, faster, more productive way of doing business than maybe the other means do. I can tell you I'm hearing lots of discussion going on in the community over mortgage foreclosure problems and various groups trying to identify where and how they might be able to access funds. And I've not heard specifics, but when I know they talk about that, they eventually start talking about surcharges and recording fees and deed taxes and mortgage registry taxes, which I know the industry is just going to go crazy about those types of proposals coming forth because of just the economic climate in general, but particularly as it affects real estate, and to add additional costs or fees onto them at this point, I don't think is something that I, as the chair of the commission, I'm not very comfortable going forward with a request for funding at this point in light of where I'm seeing things at. I don't think it's in our best interest at this particular point in time, and I don't know that I've ever said that before as a government official, but I just don't see it as being very well received or greeted. I do think that we're doing something that does have the benefit of making real estate commerce move more quickly, and that it does bear some merit. But the other issue that Greg raised back, of course, is how much can you raise from other sources, because the statute does provide for contributions from outside parties. And of course, Greg raised the issue to me about the possibility of counties contributing money to it and helping finance those things. And, you know, as I've told others, the counties have been in one way or another, directly or indirectly, paying for the bulk of the activities that have gone on with electronic recording already, with either in-kind contributions or assistance. And then there have been a number of select vendors that I think we've been very fortunate to have that have also contributed in-kind contributions and time. So that's kind of where the discussion centered around, and I guess I open it up for discussion for other commission members.
Well, I was having a conversation about this with my research assistant, actually, and the money and how it's not likely to move forward. And he has something that I have not thought through, and that is, can we facilitate the recording of the foreclosure-related uniform conveyancing blanks, the sheriff's certificates and all of those documents that come in on foreclosures? Which I think is interesting. You know, we've been focusing on the conveyances rather than those documents. Is there anything there that we could do to help? All the documents that get recorded in connection with the foreclosure. What if we were to put those in electronic form and try to facilitate that end of things? I don't know. It's just an idea. I kind of what one gets from law students, you know, they aren't in the same ruts that we all are.
Well, the notice of intent to foreclose and that mm-hmm. the power and that sort of thing, that's mm-hmm. one of those that would be on the uniform conveyancing list that Larry and Chris are looking at mapping. It is one of the document set types that at least we're hearing from a couple of vendors and from some attorneys that they put high on the list of recordings. And then it's the sheriff's, the package of the sheriff's certificate of sale.
Mm-hmm.
And though that document is also one that's on that uniform conveyancing blank list that they're going to come up with, and I would agree. We're hoping that if that can get mapped, that would probably be one of the top documents right now that would get used.
Is that a way to persuade the legislature that maybe money for us? You're saying no.
Are you saying they're going to have to be very away from that?
But what she's saying is when they build in some legislation on foreclosure, to build in some funding toward this commission to set up the standards.
That's what I'm saying.
And that may be a point where we could get some, I'm not sure that we would get what we needed to have, but it would be nice that if that's where they're looking, that legislation is going to come in, but will that be another cost to, who would that be the cost to? Who ends up bearing the cost of that?
Well, let me throw where I think the issue will come up during the session. There's a committee that Larry and I have been attending here for the last 6 months. Well, we were in it a year ago, but now there, since legislation adjourned in May, there's been a committee taking a look at the mortgage foreclosure documents and coming up with a data set to electronically record mortgage foreclosure information statewide.
Well, actually, they want to collect the information, not necessarily record.
Pardon me. Yeah. They want to collect mortgage foreclosure information on a statewide basis in order to help advocate groups, was the original intention, and also to help researchers look at policy questions and issues. And the long and the short is that most of the advocate groups have been satisfied with legislation that took place last year, the mortgage foreclosure assistance folks. They're now getting notification of the notices of intent to foreclose prior to those being actually recorded. So they're able to intervene in advance. So now it's down to policy researchers that want information in order to help public policy decisions. And there are legislators that have got a whole lot of other issues they want to get collected. So there's going to be legislation on this. And the question, of course, gets to be who, where, and how is it all going to get collected? And who's going to fund it? And I would tell you from a county's perspective, we've just been very concerned that we haven't stepped up to the plate to do it because it's going to be another unfunded mandate. And the county is not in favor of that sort of thing. The other question is, how long is this going to be meaningful information, or in 2 years, is it not going to be something anybody's ever going to need or use again?
And that's the statute that lays out. And, yeah, I mean, that's related to what I'm talking about, but
right.
Not the same as.
Right. Yeah. And the...
Well, one of the models that we suggested was to make an electronic system so they could do what you're proposing, like they're...
And then some of us thought if there is going to be a real need on the part of the legislature for examining policy issues surrounding the housing mortgage financing industry, that, you know, counties don't really have the research tools to do that sort of thing, and that why wouldn't you turn to look at the University, perhaps, of Minnesota, that's a land-grant college, isn't that part of their mission, and should that then be built into something that they might be empowered to do? And have the research tools to be able to do that kind of research that counties don't have that. And for the most part, many of the state agencies don't have that type of research capability to do that in this area, which is a very specialized area. And then what would that entail and encounter and so forth, and then use not only, you know, you get into the mapping tools of GIS and all of that type of capability that you're going to want to have. And so those are the thoughts that are kicked around and have been talked about. And it all costs money, and I don't know who is going to have any to come forth with things. But there are going to undoubtedly be offers and solutions about what to do about the mortgage foreclosure problem going on in Minnesota, just like there is at the national level. So, and how that plays into what we're doing here is the thing I think we've got to be prepared to have ourselves positioned for.
Yeah.
So how much data are they wanting to gather for, I mean, are you looking at the notice?
The data that's listed in the statute is very minimal. But there are those in the legislature that would like to expand it beyond that. But the data listed in the statute are things like address, property identification number. What was the other one? Wasn't there one other big one that hasn't been in the past, a requirement?
A servicer, a loan servicer?
Yeah,
I
think that was correct.
So that's not always information for that.
No, it's not. I mean, it's on the document, but we do not capture that information. Therein lies the problem.
Plus, not every foreclosure would be filed electronically, even if we had everything. So you'd be you'd be asking the legislature to fund two procedures to capture everything, which would seem to make it a deal breaker.
I was just thinking through that process. Is you know, if each county presented that search in a file to this other entity to do the research on, that part electronically could be done fairly easy and almost all.
But it's lacking some of the information that they want.
But it would be lacking information, yes. They would have to follow it up.
They do not have an address.
Right. They don't have an address. And you said the
servicer.
Is it originator as well? Loan originator?
Might be. I don't know. There was several items that we do not capture.
That we don't capture, but we could capture and send the image.
And that was the suggestion, that in short term, if they really want to gather this information and do it as cheaply as possible, have all 87 counties send in their notice of pendency once a week or once a month.
Right.
And have somebody data enter it. Because it's only, how many thousand was it in a year's time, like 20,000? I think that's what it was. So it's not a huge amount of data that they'd have.
Probably it'd be closer to 25 to 30,000 this year, but I'm going to have to excuse myself. Bob, you chaired our first meeting. I'm wondering if you would be gracious enough to take on the agenda and at least continue getting us through the end of it.
Sure.
I would be very indebted to you.
Ron, happy to do it.
Thank you very much.
Good luck with your mom.
Thank you.
Good luck with your mom.
Thank you.
Jump right down to 11.
All right. We have a motion from.
Follow him right out the door.
I think since we were going to set C aside, 6C aside, then did we want to talk about 6D, or is that sort of subsumed in the fact that we're going to wait to find out about legislative strategies?
No, I think, if you don't mind me saying there was a work plan that was drafted, in draft form, absolutely, that was discussed at the last meeting, and there was some question if we had a quorum there. Mike was interested in having those short-term and long-term goals officially approved by the committee.
Okay.
I mean, commission,
Everybody have a copy? Are there any comments or questions about the draft?
Oh, don't
have 2 minutes.
Not a copy of that.
There are, I noticed, resources conspicuously missing. So,
yeah. this draft was done prior to the conversation and Pam's input on the resources. So, and so we were just kind of focusing on the general. Are the goals acceptable for the group?
So I guess then the process would be, if we approve the goals, then the next step would be to assign resources, and that would lead to an approval of the plan as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
Questions about goals, long and short? Feel free to join in from. Failing that, there is a motion to approve the goals with the earlier comments that we next have to assign resources in order to be able to understand and approve the plan. So perhaps at the next meeting, go and prepare that. But anyone?
I'll make a motion to accept.
And motion from Janine to accept. A second?
Work plan.
One second.
Second from Ryan. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? It passes. Thank you very much. Often item 7, discussion of what documents can be accepted at the current time.
So it's a long title, that one. It's, that's a follow-up from some input from Janine from the last meeting, and it was tabled to have kind of further discussion at this meeting. So,
right, I think we were discussing, you know, we were having a lot of questions as to what documents could be recorded in counties and what was being presented at some counties. And, you know, basically our statute had identified three satisfactions, releases, I'm sorry, must be four. Satisfactions, releases, certificates of release, and assignments. And so I think that's where Bill Morey was going, so we could start looking at other documents. But, you know, at this time, that is all we were supposed to be accepting, because that's all the documents we have mapped. Is that the right terminology? Is that those are the only ones we have mapped. Now that we're dealing with Pam, looking at getting the deed done so we can do a six-pack or a package, and then go on with what Larry and Chris have looked at as documents. I think that's where we're at that. But at this current time, I think the discussion was that we would like to see a standard statewide set for those mapping and those documents that came in. So
the additional documents?
Yeah, additional documents come in. And, yes. I think that will be, and I might be mistaken, but I think we're looking at that maybe first, but I think we're looking at within 2 or 3 months being able to have most of the conveyancing blank types of documents be able to fall in under 4 or 5 categories, so that, you know, you have a mortgage come in, whether it's a corrected mortgage, re-recorded mortgage, it would still be a mortgage. You still need the same documents after it. Other types of encumbrances may fall under mortgages, or maybe we'll retitle it encumbrances, you know, so that if you're sending in something, as long as it pulls off those data elements, then we'll be able to, in Model 2. And I think the discussion from the recorders group that met would be to be able to tell them soon that we're looking 2 or 3 months. We're not looking a year away. We're looking at 2 or 3 months, not to open the floodgates, but to be able to record those type of documents with standards, because at some of the vendors I talked to, they're going, well, we can file them in every other state. We just can't file them in Minnesota. We don't want to just take any document without any standards. But we do believe that with Pam's help.
I think basically the work plan we just provisionally approved has described these issues and assigns a time frame to it.
So
what really is just missing is resources. So you have a contingent answer to all of the questions. It's just impending resources.
And the other thing is though they're not liking depending resources, when we can get to it, when we can afford it, because I'm getting the same vendor questions.
Sure.
So, you know, I think, you know, we can say, or we thought very comfortably this morning, we can say 2 or 3 months, February, March, hopefully. Pam, are you still there?
Yep, I'm here.
Is that okay?
Yep.
You're not screaming, okay.
No, she didn't hang up. It was unmuted when I was doing that.
So that's where we are with that.
But he has to wait until the ECRV's done, right?
Correct.
Yep.
I think it's fair to say then, if you know, if we receive questions from any vendors, that we can refer them to this work plan.
Okay.
That's the approved schedule. All right. 8. Status of validation acceptance of counties.
Huh. That one, I think. What was that one?
I think that one's another one
you brought up.
We have some vendors out there that. Would like to provide vendor service to counties in Minnesota, and at this point we do need to have a validation system that approves them to do that business. And that may be a question for Pam again. Mike's not here to answer that. Are you working on that, or? Okay, I don't know if anyone did that, but that's what you say we need to do, right?
I know that was kind of where we left off, because if it's all e-record documents, then yeah, they would need certification. If it was just level 3 documents, then they could send level 2, no problem, which is probably what they want to send anyway.
So we should check with Mike.
Or accept.
See if Mike has done anything in that area. Okay.
We'll
double check with Mike and get a solid answer to this. Year-end report, which I presume is something else that we'd want to send to the legislature.
Mike and I were talking about that the group's not required, as opposed to what was before, to provide a year-end report, but as part of the bylaws that were adopted by the commission, the group thought it would be a good way to communicate to stakeholders and interested parties of the work performed, and also to provide a benchmark to base of, to look back at the past. So we just thought it was early yet, and we don't have a specific date that we have to, give it to the legislature by, but maybe if folks can look back at the past annual year-end reports, kind of consider what was written before and think of how a new year-end report would be how it would be composed and what we should it address in that. So,
would those suggestions go to you, Diane and Mike, or?
I'm sorry?
Suggestions send to you and to
Yeah, Mike. Absolutely. Yeah, that would be fine if they'd like to send it to suggestions to me.
Okay.
That'd be fine. And I think it's another agenda item for next week. It's kind of just putting on the members' radars.
Next week?
Oh, next week. I'm sorry, next month.
Oh, okay.
Sorry.
Okay. So in the next few weeks, if we could send any suggestions to Diane about that, and then we could sort of hammer out the format from there. But we're probably looking at something relatively simple.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Other business. None. Back there. Now, number 11. Do I hear a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Right. Second.
Second.
From Eileen. All in favor?
Yeah.
Opposed? We are adjourned. Thank you so much.
Good job, John.